Welcome back. We're discussing the role of the United Nations in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and whether or not Tel Aviv is committing war crimes as it pursues its all-out assault on the Gaza Strip. Joining me is Professor Richard Falk, the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories, and Professor Emeritus of International Law at Princeton University. He's joining us from Santa Barbara in California, where he's a visiting professor at the University of California. Let's get back to our discussion with a call from South Africa. Lee, thanks for your patience. What would you like to ask?
My question is to the professor.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Lee. Just ask.
What I wanted to ask is, you know, the professor said something about rockets being fired from Gaza into Israel, right? I appreciate the fact that, you know, killing innocent people is not right. But at the same time, trying to get these two sites, who are supposed to be a legally elected organization to represent Gaza, have not been able to get to the table with Israel for the past 60 years. Now, how long will these negotiations continue? For the next 60 years? Or is that going to happen now?
Okay, yeah? Go ahead. I was going to put this to the professor. After this assault on Gaza, considering the damage that's being done, considering what we're seeing is happening, the carnage we're seeing, is it ever going to be really possible for Palestinians and Israelis to sit at the peace table with any degree of optimism?
Certainly not with any degree of optimism. I think maybe if one's very optimistic with a certain degree of realism, because ultimately the peace and security and well-being of Israelis as well as Palestinians depends on finding some path to a resolution of this conflict that has proved to be such an ordeal over the course of several decades. And I would just add that it doesn't help, in fact it hinders this process and this prospect, to label Hamas as a terrorist organization, just as it would be a hindrance to any kind of prospect for a solution to call Israel a state terrorist organization. The time has come to drop those labels, to deal with the de facto political realities that exist, and allow Hamas to be a participant in the diplomatic negotiations seeking a permanent ceasefire and seeking a end to the blockade that has caused so much suffering for the civilian population of Gaza.
Now, Professor, before I get to another viewer call, let me just mention Israel, of course, is being very careful about access to Gaza, particularly when it comes to journalists and perhaps even tragically for those trying to provide humanitarian relief. You yourself were kicked out of the area by Israel for comparing Israel's policies with that of the Nazi Holocaust, a very raw subject, a very sensitive area for them, of course. And I wonder, I know obviously it's very difficult for you to do your job there. What was your intention in making even that kind of loose connection that you did? You said it wasn't a direct comparison, but you must have known it was fairly provocative for Israel.
Well, I have some regrets about having made that journalistic statement. It was done prior to my appointment as special rapporteur, and I would not have done it if I had had that official position. But it was true that I was very distressed by the lack of attention being given to the suffering that was inflicted upon Gaza by this continuing blockade. And I did see it and continue to see it as a severe example of collective punishment, and that is not only prohibited by Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention, but it does remind one of past mass atrocities that were inflicted on people. It doesn't mean that they are similar or in any exact sense comparable, but it is the signature reality of the Nazi experience that it stigmatized every Jewish man, woman, and child. And that's what collective punishment has done to the people of Gaza since it has been applied after the election of Hamas to the leadership of Gaza back in January of 2006.
Let's get to Ed on the line from Chicago. Ed, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. My comment is that, you know, I've been following this thing since it started, and I've followed other Middle East conflicts in the past. And what I've noticed is that right now there's almost a media blackout here in the U.S., and it's amazing how powerful some forces are in this country. They're barely talking about it, especially on CNN, Fox News, the big networks. They're talking about Obama's new financial plan round the clock. To me, I think they're just being accomplices, because most people I run into even don't know that what's going on over there, right, or they just think that Hamas is firing rockets and that's it.
This is actually, Professor, this is a very valid point, and I have to say that, you know, the world doesn't get to see most of the gruesome pictures here in the media. I mean, the news certainly carries far more gruesome pictures on TV than we ever used to when I was starting out in journalism more than two decades ago, but still the reality is even worse, and the pictures on the internet show the absolute carnage, the horror of it all. And I guess because the American public hasn't largely, I mean, is insulated from this, it must have some sway on the way Americans see the two sides. And I wonder, from your perspective, as someone who has been to the region and an American living here, knows what the media offers here, how you regard how opinion might change in the U.S. if the reality was visible to everyone here?
Yes, I think that the caller has an extremely valid point, that one of the elements in this situation that keeps U.S. policy as one-sided as it is the way the mainstream media provides the American viewing and reading public with a distorted, pro-Israeli, slanted coverage of these events. And it becomes particularly evident and influential at crisis points during the Lebanon War of 2006, and now during these attacks on Gaza that commenced on December 27th. I think there is a subtle change in American opinion and the climate of opinion here that is more favorable to the position of the Palestinians than it has been in the past. In my view, the Palestinians in this conflict that's going on day by day are winning the legitimacy war that may in the end be more decisive than the military campaigns. That's what beat the United States in Vietnam. It's what frustrated the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. And I think that in the end, the Gaza and Palestinian struggle will be determined by the outcome of the legitimacy war. That's also what doomed the apartheid regime in South Africa.
All right. Well, Professor, of course, media has changed a lot, and the world is far more connected, and perhaps manipulation or handling of the media is a key factor. Now, before we end the show, I just want to update all of you on a result we got from our instant live panel poll, which took place a few minutes ago. There's a bunch of you chatting on the Live Station chat room at livestation.com, adding your questions and comments to the show as we go out on air. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. Now, the question we put today in this live panel poll was, does the UN have any power over the situation in Gaza? Does the UN have any power over the situation in Gaza? And we found in the Live Station poll that we did, 32% of you said yes, the UN has power, while 68% said no, the UN is powerless. So more than two-thirds of you think the UN is powerless in the situation of Gaza. We thank you very much for taking part. We'll try and get more of these polls out on Live Station as we go forward. Well, Professor Falk, I want to thank you very much for being with us, sir, and adding your comments to this debate here.
It was great to be with you. Thank you, Riz.
And thank you for being with us. On the next show, we discuss Israel's justification for the war in Gaza. The country's left wing says it's a cynical war launched for political reasons. Are they right in any way? Well, be sure to tune in for the debate. From me and the team, we'll see you next time.